chapter 40, if you would. Find your place there. And when you do, I'm going to ask you to stand. Isaiah chapter 40. The key verse is verse 31, but I'm going to read a few verses ahead of that. Isaiah chapter 40. Find your place there and stand if you're able. If not, that's fine. Isaiah chapter 40. Okay. We're going to look at verse 29 through 31 this morning. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Father, we again thank you for the privilege to be here. We thank you for the gracious God that you are to each one of us. We just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, that even while we were yet sinners, you sent him to die for us. Father, we're just in awe of the fact that you have given us the Word of God and the Spirit of God, that we can learn about you and to be more like you, Father. I ask this morning that you would guide and direct in each one of our hearts. And as we are thinking about fathers, this applies to all of us. Father, I pray you just go before us now, go before me, and the words that you've given to me, that these words, Father, would touch each one of our hearts because they're the Word of God, and that you might help each one of us to look to you and trust you today. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, parenting is fun, isn't it? It's fun jumping off bridges. It's fun going fishing. It's fun doing all those activities. It's fun riding the roller coasters and stuff like that. All that stuff is fun. It's exciting. The new challenges, the new things your children come up with that surprise you and think, where did that come from? It's also heartbreaking many times. The difficulties that you face and your children face through this life. But you know, God is always there through all of these things. And so important that as dads, we understand that He's called us to be the leaders of the home. We're the ones that are trotting the path. We're the ones that have the machete and are cutting down the stalks and trying to lead in the right direction. God has given us that authority and also that position. God has intended that the man would be the breadwinner and that the woman be keeper of the home. Of course, in our society, everything is twisted. It's upside down. Things don't make sense anymore. Guys want to be women and women want to be guys, and it's just all crazy. And often that is because of all these relationships that people don't understand is they've left the Word of God. They left what the Bible teaches. And so they're going to do that which is right in their own minds. Today we live in a generation of people who have reprobate minds and can't even come to the understanding and the knowledge of what the Bible teaches. And we live in this society, so how important is it for dads and moms too to be committed to that which is right and to teach our children that which is right so they would grow up and not be bombarded with all this confusion and be confused themselves. But they would know that God is the right path always, the right choice always. No other choice is better than following God. Dads are on the front line of defense of taking care of their families. If dad is out of the way, then Satan has a free reign. And that's what's happened to our society today. A lot of fathers have left. A lot of fathers are no longer doing what they're supposed to do. But God still has instructions and has guidance for each one of us. And dad, you're the most, I personally believe, on the front line, the most important cog first in the leadership of the family. And God's given you that responsibility to lead and guide your families to help train your children and to help them to walk with God. And to do so, we as dads need to walk with God. This morning, I'm just sharing a message on the wings of eagles. And as we look at this passage in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, I want to share three different thoughts: a father's dependence, a father's determination, and then a father's demonstration. All three are important. In our passage in verse 31, it says, "But they that wait." Talking about dependence. Dependence on the Lord. That is waiting on the Lord. Looking to Him before we jump out and make mistakes and wrong decisions. It's talking about trusting the Lord. Realizing that God knows everything. Sometimes I think about that and say, you know, Bruce, God knows everything. He knows the next step He wants you to take. He knows your heart. He knows the things you're thinking. He knows the direction He wants you to go. And it reminds me of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. That word trust means to have confidence in God. I don't have much confidence sometimes in myself because sometimes I make wrong decisions. Sometimes I make mistakes. Sometimes I wonder, is this the right step or is this not the right step? And that's when I need to seek the Lord and get the confidence and trust I can get from Him to help me to make those decisions. It says, lean not unto thy own understanding. That word lean means to support oneself. He's saying, don't support yourself. Let the Lord support you. Let Him guide you and direct you in these decisions. Often we think, well, this is what I think and this is how I feel. Jeremiah 17:9 reminds us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, my feelings will betray me. My feelings will misguide me. My feelings will put me in a place that's not where God wants me to be. Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So this idea that we want to trust. So he says, but they that wait, wait on what? Upon the Lord. That's who we want to wait on. Proverbs 3:6 reminds us, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How do we acknowledge him? We talk about Him. It's the Lord who's going to guide me. It's the Lord who's going to help me. It's the Lord who has preeminence in my life. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him for what He's done. How He's guided and directed. Acknowledge the fact when we make mistakes. And say, Lord, You were right all along. Acknowledge Him. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Isn't that what we want, our thoughts to be established? We need to be dependent on God. Often, I don't know about you, but I struggle. I struggle with decisions on how to follow God or how to live for God. I've struggled in raising my children, made a lot of mistakes, lots of mistakes. And they were all self-inflicted because I chose to do it my way instead of God's way. And when we do that, our families are left up to the consequences. They're going to suffer through these things because of my mistakes, because of how my leadership didn't help them to be encouraging things of God and doing the right things. Saying, I'm sorry when I should have, maybe. Or, I was wrong. You know, sometimes us fathers, we might say stuff like, do it my way, or hit the highway, or don't do what I do, do what I say, or all kinds of cliches. Proverbs 22:6 reminds us, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So we have a responsibility. We are given a privilege, because the fruit of the womb is the Lord's. We're given a privilege to raise these children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord to follow Him above all. Most importantly, that is the goal. That's the goal for us, each person wants to do the same as a Christian, is to learn how to follow Him. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I get tired. And I go, well, if that's what God really wants me to do, I'm just too tired to do that. Does He really want me to do that? No, He wouldn't want me to do that. But if he says in the word to do it, then he really wants you to do it. That's the way it works. So we have this opportunity to take a child and to help show him who God is. And how is he going to see it? Well, we're going to be in the Word of God. But not only that, we're going to live our lives for God. We're going to make decisions based on the Word of God, putting Him first. The choice is, do what God wants me to do before I do what I want to do. And when you do that, and there is going to be some sacrifice and suffering, or it seems like that, it really won't be in the end, you'll see it. But it's going to help secure in your child's heart that my dad loves God and he follows God. His choices are based on doing what's right. Otherwise, what you do in moderation, your children do in excess, both ways. They may do the other, opposite. Well, dad didn't really believe it. He didn't spend time. He wasn't faithful to church, or he wasn't doing this, or he wasn't reading the Bible. Any of those things will cause your children to stumble, and they'll think, dad says this is important, but he don't do it. So why would it be important? We have an opportunity. How do we train our children? Ephesians 6:4 reminds us, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word provoke and that word wrath are the same word. That means anger alongside, or in rage. It's easy to do. But no, we want to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture means education or train. Admonition is calling attention to or mild rebuke. To what? To the Lord. We want them to look to the Lord. When your children reach a certain age, maybe it's 12, 13, 14, maybe it's younger, I don't know. Just like the age of accountability, we don't know what that is. But when they start understanding and taking things in and start having ownership of the knowledge that they have, we want that knowledge to be of God. To see God work in their lives. That they themselves take it upon themselves to read the Word of God and talk to God and seek His advice. That's not to say they shouldn't see the parents' advice always. But at some point, the parents not going to be around anymore. And we want them to walk with God and to choose God first in their life. It's interesting that verse is addressed to fathers and not mothers. It's talking about the father in the home. He's the one that's to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He's the one that's supposed to take the... That doesn't mean you can't delegate authority to the wife. Obviously you do. Obviously I've done it. And we're going to do that. It's a joint effort. In the end, when we stand before God, the father is going to give the greatest account for his family. Because God told us that we're to bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So it is an important thing that we do. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, we always go here on these type of things, but this is a good place to be. Because the same God who allowed Moses to pen these words, the same God we serve today, and it's the same God that thinks the same way about these things. In Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 1. He says, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that thou may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto who? Thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Why? Because that's the walk. That's the living the life. It's talking about the Lord at the dinner table. It's talking about the Lord when you're working on a project. You drop a bolt or whatever it is. You're talking about the Lord in those things. He's in all of that. When you bust your finger and the things you say, it ought to be the Lord's in that. He knows all about it. We all make mistakes, but the idea is that we learn through those mistakes and we grow in those, and that the Lord is preeminent in our lives. More than anything else. So we see a father's dependence needs to be on God to help take care of his family. And that's what we see. But they that wait upon the Lord, that dependence, then we see a father's determination where he says, shall renew their strength. I'm telling you, I have no strength on my own. Many times over the last several years, I thought, it's done. I'm done. I'm not going to be able to make another step. But God gives us the strength to continue. And we look to Him and ask Him for that strength. We want to be renewed in that strength. And that word renewal means to exchange that which is old for that which is new, in a sense. Just like when you put your faith and trust in Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, those words mean what they say. The old ways go away. Now, does it happen instantaneously? No. No, it doesn't. It takes a lifetime of learning and growing and reading and studying and asking and praying and begging and learning and reading. Keep on doing it, right? And what you do is you grow in that and you learn more about the things of God and you admit, hey, there's been some mistakes along the way. Why? Because I have a renewed mind. It's not the same as it was back then. Things have changed. I see things differently than I saw them way back when, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years ago. It's the exchange of the old life for the new. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24 reminds us that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. That's the walk or the life that you had, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's a day-by-day thing. It doesn't happen overnight. There's not a person in this room can say, I've arrived. Because if that was true, you wouldn't be in this room. You'd be with the Lord right now. Because that's when you're going to arrive. 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul penned these words. He says, for which cause we faint not. We're going to keep on keeping on. But though our outward man perish, we're getting old, weak, tired. He says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Renewed day by day. How? Through the Word of God. That change of mind, that change of heart. How about you, Dad? But I don't have a chance on my own. You can't raise godly children on your own. You can't say, this is what you're going to do and that's it. You need the power of God in your life. You need the strength of God to be able to do it. Otherwise, we're going to fail and have. David is a prime example, a man after God's own heart. I mean, many times we see that he was a man that followed God. You read the Psalms and you just see his heart. He pours out his heart over and over and over. How his love for God. I've never spoken about the Lord as much as David has written about the Lord. The way he just keeps writing these words, this personal relationship that he has. That he loves the Lord and he wants the Lord to hear him and he wants to follow the Lord. He wants the Lord to bless him and he knows he can and will. But yet he was on a rooftop doing what he shouldn't have been doing in the first place. And we know that he saw Bathsheba and through that they had an immoral relationship. And through that, this child was going to be born, so he conjured up a plan. See, when you start off on that path of sin, you're going to keep going down that same path. So he decided, well, I'm going to bring Uriah home and we're going to fix this situation. But Uriah was an honorable man. Because the troops were at the battlefront and they were sleeping out, he slept on the front porch of his house. He didn't go in the house. And so David came up with another plan and he sent a letter with him back and told Joab, put him in the heat of the battle. And what did he do? He murdered Uriah. Had him killed. And so the consequence of that, he realized his sin, of course, through Nathan. He repented of that sin, but he lost the baby. Then his whole family was in disarray. His son Ammon raped his half-sister Tamar. Tamar's brother Absalom killed Ammon. And then he tried to steal the kingdom from David. He had David running for his life. And there were a lot of things that David did wrong in that situation. He had opportunities to get right with Absalom, but he would not do it. And I think that's the reason that these outcomes happened. Because he chose to do it his way and not God's way. God gave us that to help us understand for us that we don't want to walk down those paths. We don't want to do what David did. Even though he was a man after God's own heart, even though almost all the southern kings were compared to David as doing like David did, which was right. We don't want to lose our families. We don't want to lose our children. We want them to follow God. We need strength. In Paul's closing of the letter of 1 Corinthians, he gave a four-point sermon. We shared that last week. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, he said, watch ye, stand fast, he said, in the faith. He said, quit you like men. Be like men. Stand up. And he said, be strong. And that's what we all should desire in our lives, is to have God be in our lives that we can be what God has called us to be. As Paul wrote and lived in his life, he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. It's Christ that's given me the ability to do anything. To hammer a nail. I couldn't hammer a nail without Christ and the strength that God has given me. It'd be impossible. He's done that for me. We say we serve a great God and He loves us and He cares for us. We saw that in Paul's life when he prayed for that thorn in the flesh three times and God said that His grace was sufficient. And Paul realized that whatever state he was in, he was learning to be content. And God had put him and allowed him to be in this and God was going to use him in this situation. How often is it that we get down in the mouth or, God, this ain't right, this ain't fair, I can't do anything, I can't do this, can't do that. Paul said it, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Through Christ we can do it. If He's asked us to do anything, we can do it. So we need determination as dads to stick to the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, to trust the Word of God, and to apply it in our lives. Be heavenly minded and not earthly minded. To be focused on what's going to be important in this short period that we have in this life, in the end. It's not going to be about the things we have. Those won't mean anything. It's going to be what we bring with us. And it's not a U-Haul. None of those are going along. It's only those that we've had opportunity to encourage in the things of God. So we need to be dependent, determined, but also we need to demonstrate this. And Isaiah 40:31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And here is the demonstration. He says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In Exodus 19:4, Moses, he said, ye have seen what I did, this is God speaking, what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. God did that. He said, I'll bear you on eagle's wings. And then later on, Moses, as he was, I believe this is a song of Moses, turn to Deuteronomy 32 for a second. Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse 10, Deuteronomy 32. Again, Moses, this is titled A Song of Moses. It says, he found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. God did something miraculous for the children of Israel when he led them out of Egypt. And Moses describes it here as he's speaking of what God's done in his life as an illustration of the eagle. And the eagle, or the eaglets, they grow up. They spread their wings and they take off and they learn to fly. But always the adult eagle is right there supervising the little eaglets before they get gone on their own. Sort of like the parent is supervising his children and leading him in the things of God so he can take off. If the eaglets begin to fall, then the eagle will put them on their wings. And this eaglet illustration, there's three aspects of freedom we see. Freedom from the nest. This illustrates the believer's freedom from sin in the world. It's training our children up that when they walk with God and they know God in a personal way. And they would present Him constantly in their lives so they see Him and they know that it's God that I depend on. Initially, it's my parents. Just like the eaglets depend on the eagle, now it's God I must depend on. It's God I have to trust. It's God that I need to seek. Yes, you can get help from your parents and others, but God always has the right answers. Then there's the freedom to grow or mature. Everybody has that. That means we're not all the same place in our walk with Christ. Not all of us are in the same position. That's why one person might know or have experienced something somebody else didn't. That's what 2 Corinthians is all about, is that through our trials and tribulations, we can help somebody else that's going through a similar trial or tribulation. We've not all experienced the same things. It's a growing thing in our lives. Young people haven't experienced what adults have. Some adults haven't experienced what other adults have. And we learn and we grow thereby. It's about our testimonies that we want the freedom to fulfill their purpose as we fulfill our purpose. When the eaglets learn to fly, they take off and they have their lives to live. When our children leave our nest, they have their lives to live. They may be called to go somewhere that you weren't called. We have people in our church that have children that were called to go somewhere else and not here. That's God's doing. But we want our children to answer God's call when He calls. It's so easy to get rooted and grounded in a place and think, this is my home, this is my life, when we read the Word of God, it's not true. The Word of God teaches us that we're just passing through. My home is in heaven. The life I'm live here is supposed to be lived where God wants me to live it. Whether it's Stratton, Maine, or Hickory, North Carolina, wherever it is. Let Him do the calling. Let Him do the leading. Trust Him. He says, they shall run and not be weary in our passage. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, Paul pins these words. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and and the sin which does so easily beset us. We're in the race of our lives, and the things that we have in our lives can hinder us and hold us back. When you think about the weights, he says every weight. What are weights? It's anything that gets our attention off of the things of God. It's anything that we spend more time doing than seeking the Lord and trusting Him for what He wants us to do. Our mind is caught up in the world and the worldly things, then those are weights. Those are hindrances. Those keep us back from serving God. It keeps us back from teaching our children how important it is to serve God. If God wants your child to be an engineer, that's fine. But first and foremost, He wants them to be a Christian that is giving testimony of God in their life, wherever they're at. Because that's why we're here, is to glorify God in all things. So we can lay aside the weights, just as an athlete does when he gets ready to run the race. But also there's sin that besets us and keeps us back and keeps us from doing that which we're to do. There's so many things out there that get a hold of our attention and our time. And if we're wasting our time, the Bible says, redeem the time, for the days are evil. How do you redeem the time? Well, you can't get it back. It's gone. So you have to start where you're at and start redeeming the time today and tomorrow and the next day. Don't let those things hinder us. Don't let the weights and the sin and all that comes into our lives that will keep us from doing that which God wants us to do. The last part of our verse says, they shall walk and not faint. This is speaking of steadfastness. Don't get off track. Don't make decisions that keep you away from your family and your children. You know, there's a lot of things out there, and a lot of people, I think, have this misconception. I understand it because I'm the same way. I've always wanted to do that which was right when I was in my workplace. I always wanted to be there available pretty much 24/7. Always done that in the sense that if you call me, I'm going to answer the phone. And if you want me to come in, I'm going to come in. Unless it hinders me from doing what God wants me to do. I always put that stake in the ground after I got saved. I thought it was important. It's important for my children to see me in church. It's important for my children to see me if Lord leads me to have the opportunity to teach or whatever God leads me to do. I remember telling my children this. I said, if someone asks you to do something in church, I said, do it. Do it. Whether it was singing or whatever it was, it's an opportunity to serve. And I remember being confronted by that. Because I was asked to preach one time. And I can't remember which child. One of my children said, you need to do that, Dad. Okay. Because I was like anybody else. I wanted to get out of it. I didn't want to do that. God wants to use us. We need to be ready to be used. We need to put ourselves in a position to be used. We need to be serving right now. The Bible teaches that we're to prove the Word of God, but also we're to prove ourselves as faithful Christians, as dedicated to the Lord. And we do that by studying the Word of God and coming to conclusions about the holiness and godliness of who He is and what He wants us to do and how He wants us to live. How can we trust Him? What is trust in God? It's making decisions based on what He says in His Word. What's most important? What's the most important thing is to glorify God. And right under that is what? Is to win people to the Lord. And everything else. And then you have your family. Well, your family's right up on top of that. They should be with you winning people to the Lord. Don't leave them out of it. Bring them along. Teach them as well. This morning, this is Father's Day, and we want to honor our fathers. And this morning, let me say this, that in this church, the fathers in the church are people who love the Lord. They have a desire to serve God. None of us are perfect. I know I'm not. And there's more to do, and there's more to grow, and there's things that I can learn. And if I'm not doing right, I need to ask God to forgive me and make those commitments. See, a dad that'll honor God is a dad that's going to be rewarded with his children that honor God. Now again, every child has to make up their own mind. But a big part of what they make up has to do with the father and the mother in the home. And it's so important. A verse that I'm reminded of is 3 John, verse 4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That is the most important thing when it comes to my children, is I want them to walk with God. I want them to serve God. I don't want them just to be pew sitters. I want them to be servants, to be busy about the things of the Lord. How important is it? Because if they're not, well, I failed. And I'm sure I have in many areas. But that's the most important thing that I desire of my family. And they all have to make their own way. They all have to choose that path. It was my responsibility to try to guide them in that direction. And that's what I always did. That's why when my kids got to a certain age, I said, look, I want you to go to Ambassador for at least 1 year, and then you can do whatever you want. And that's fine. But that was the most important thing after I got saved in my life, was to point my family to the Lord. And again, I did not do it perfectly. Let me share this last thing with you and we'll close. A man who puts God's business above any other business is titled. The man who brings his children to church rather than sends them. You know, many a day that there was the bus ministry that we'd go pick up kids and parents would never show up. And it's like the story about the crabs. The fish saw the crabs. And if you ever seen a crab walk, they walk sideways. Well, the fish got it in their mind. Now, this is not a true story by any means, but it's an idea. The fish got it in their mind that, man, we could teach these crabs to walk straight. They need to walk straight. So we'll have a Sunday school and we'll teach them to walk straight. So they had a Sunday school. There was a school of fish and a school of crabs all together. And they taught those crabs to walk straight. And then they sent them away. They came back the next Sunday, and those crabs, they walked crooked again. So those school of fish, those leaders got together and said, you know what? This is not going to work. What we teach them on Sunday, they're going to go home and they're going to learn differently for 6 days of the week. So they'll never get what we're trying to teach them on Sunday. How true that is. When parents don't go to church and your kid does. That doesn't mean someone's not going to get saved and go on to live their life for the Lord. Alton Bill's a good example of that. The man who puts God's business above all of the business is the man who's willing to be the right example to every boy he meets and girl. The man who thinks more of his Sunday school class than he does his Sunday sleep. The man who measures his giving by what he has left rather than by the amount he gives. The man who goes to church for Christ's sake rather than for himself or someone else. The man who has passion to help rather than to be helped. The man who can see his own faults before he sees the faults of others. The man who stands firm in his convictions based on the Word of God, i.e., a backbone Christian, this says. And finally, the man who is more concerned about winning souls for Christ than he is about winning honor. This is the man who puts God's business above any other business. This is, somebody wrote this, I don't even remember who it was. But these ideas and thoughts are right. And what it boils down to is, as fathers and dads, even if you're just a grandpa, now you're still a dad, but you still have grandchildren, the next generation, and you don't want to lose any of them either. And so it's so important that you stand for the things of God. You study the Word of God. You find out what He has for you and follow it. You make mistakes? Hey, I made a mistake. Or if you committed sin, I committed a sin. Be upfront about it. Get right with God and with those that you failed. That'll carry more weight than taking the rug, picking it up, and your little broom and sweeping it under there and never dealing with it. There has to come a time when you can admit your faults. You're going to admit them to get saved, and you got to admit them when you see Jesus. They'll all be poured out. Let's do it today and ask God to give us the grace to take the steps we need to be the dads, the moms that we should be. God is good all the time. We just got to trust Him and ask Him to help us. Don't be afraid to ask God to help you. Just admit when you do wrong and ask Him to help you. He promises that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He tells us we can come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. He is there for us. Let's don't let down our families because of pride, because of consumption of what the world has to offer instead of consumption of what God wants to give us freely. There's grace. There's mercy. There's compassion. There's love. There's long-suffering. But in the end, there's judgment. Take the opportunities God has now for all those things that He wants to do in our lives so we won't have to stand in judgment, knowing that we should have done that which was right. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love. I thank You for each one of the men in our church. I thank You for their faithfulness. I thank You for their desire that they want their children to grow up and nurture in admonition of the Lord. Father, when I think of the folks of this church, I think this is people who are dedicated, who love You, who have a desire to serve You. When we look out in the world, there are so many places that call themselves churches or assemblies, and yet they don't care anything about serving You, don't care anything about following You, or they're misguided. Father, help each one of us to be completely surrendered so we won't fall into the traps of the world, the devil, and our own selfish desires. Go before us now. Thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.